In an effort to expand access to mental health care in New York, state lawmakers approved legislation, which was recently signed into law, designed to increase the number of professionals eligible to diagnose and craft treatment plans. To explain the potential ramifications of this measure, we're joined by its assembly sponsor, Rochester area Democrat Harry Bronson. Welcome back to the Capitol Press Room, Assembly Member.
Thank you for having me, David.
So how does this law impact access to mental health services, which have been extremely hard commodity to access since the arrival of COVID-19 and were scarce even before that?
We've had a mental health crisis here in New York State for many years, and COVID has only made that situation worse. So the importance of this legislation, which the governor signed into law on Friday, is that it will expand the number of licensed professionals with master's degrees who will be able to diagnose and develop assessment treatment plans. This will help us reduce the logjam of people getting into care because we'll be able to have them diagnosed and have a treatment plan put in place for them.
What's an assessment treatment plan?
You diagnose the situation that the person's undergoing, the emotional situation or the mental health situation, and determine what type of counseling would be necessary, what type of therapy might be necessary, and get them connected with the profession that will be most useful for their needs.
And who are the healthcare professionals who are going to be impacted by this? And how many are we talking? Is this hundreds or potentially, 10,000?
We are talking just under 10,000 mental health professionals. They are licensed under the New York State law as mental health practitioners. Their actual professional titles are mental health counselors, marriage and family therapists, as well as psychoanalysts.
And is this something that is supposed to be beneficial primarily for children, families, or should we think of this as increasing access for all New Yorkers?
Certainly, we know that children have really been impacted by COVID. The isolation that they have felt, the extreme changes that they had to face, the lack of certainty, the scares of, their health scares, as well as, just the uncertain future. So a lot of children are in great need of mental health services right now. So this will help them, certainly. But it will also, there's a lot of adults who also have gone under a lot of stress situations. And, so this measure will also help the adults in our families as well.
Is there an expectation that any mental health practitioner who's covered by this new law will take advantage of their expanded scope? Or is there a reason why they might not be willing to or interested in taking on these additional responsibilities?
Yeah, the law is set up in anticipation to allow these three disciplines, again, the mental health counselors, marriage and family therapists, as well as psychoanalysts, they can go ahead and continue under their current license, which they receive by getting their master's degree, plus doing certain number of hours of direct clinical experiences. They can go ahead and stay with that simple licensure, or they can choose to go ahead and get additional educational requirements and clinical experience to obtain the privilege to diagnose and do assessment treatment plans. All indications we have from the professional associations, and I personally have received from individuals in these professions, the vast majority of them are going to go ahead and get the additional credentialing so that they can offer a broader range of services to the people they serve.
Well, we mentioned earlier the New Yorkers who could potentially benefit from this expanded access to services. But what about the type of insurance that these potential consumers might have? Should we think of this as something for Medicaid beneficiaries who might not have been able to get access because of the limits of their plans? Is this something where private insurance consumers are going to benefit? How should we think about it in that context?
Two ways to answer. The first is earlier this year, the governor signed into law a bill that I was the prime sponsor on that would authorize Medicaid reimbursement for two of the disciplines, the mental health counselors, as well as the marriage and family therapist. In addition, we have a law that has passed both the Senate and the Assembly. Again, I have been the prime sponsor on that bill as well, that will be delivered to the governor later, that will require all insurance companies that provide medical health insurance to include mental health direct reimbursement for these disciplines. You know, we passed Timothy's law many years ago before my time in the Assembly, requiring parity between medical health coverage and mental health coverage in insurance policies. And the Attorney General has brought lawsuits against some of these insurers, and in successful in those lawsuits in settlement, have provisions in their settlement agreement to provide mental health services reimbursement for these disciplines. We're going to put it in statute to make sure that our families have access to these services. Because if you don't have the ability to pay, then that's not true access.
For listeners just joining us, you're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're speaking with Assemblymember Harry Bronson, a Rochester area Democrat. So now that this bill has been signed into law, what's the timeline for it taking effect?
Yeah, it's going to, the implementation is in a few steps. It's a little bit complicated. Some of these professionals have been working in limited settings that have offered an exemption to diagnose already. That's going to be continued. And the Office of Mental Health late last week put out guidelines on how that's going to continue based on this legislation. And then what's going to happen is the State Education Department will implement regulations within the next 18 months, setting forth the additional credentialing that would be necessary to get the privilege to diagnose. And we're anticipating that within 18 months, other professionals who are not within those limited settings will start making applications for the privilege based on their educational components they already have earned and the clinical direct experience that they have already earned. And those who don't have that level will then have to earn and do the additional work to get the privilege further down the line.
Okay, you weren't kidding. That does sound a little complicated. So if I am a New Yorker then who's interested in getting mental health services, should I anticipate because of these emergency regs that there's going to be a lot more providers coming on soon, or because of that long 18-month process, should I be thinking that my mental health needs might still be a ways away from getting addressed?
Yeah, so to some degree, the guidelines are going to be helpful to get people connected right now. In settings like here we have a Hillside, which provides services for children. In Albany, I think it's Northern Rivers provides such services. So those guidelines are going to help those children that are in those particular settings. For the general population, however, it is going to take that 18 months. But we'll be gearing up, and the associations are gearing up with professionals who already have the required credentials so that they can start the application process. That won't be reviewed until 18 months. So there will be that slight delay for some of our folks in the general population.
And are the changes of this law permanent, or is there a sunset provision, either because this is considered a temporary problem or because state lawmakers want to evaluate how things are going after a certain period?
Yeah, so another complex question. There is no sunset for the privilege. That's going to be permanent. So in the future, if you have the credentials, you can make the application for the privilege to diagnose and do assessment treatment plans. As far as the exemption itself that's already in place, that will continue for these particular master's licensed individuals. That will continue so long as they continue to work in the limited work settings that are authorized. Once they leave there, then they either have to get the additional privilege certificate or they will no longer be able to diagnose.
So for listeners who might not know this, you are the chair of the Economic Development Committee in the Assembly, right?
That is correct.
But we've had you on a lot lately to talk about mental health issues. Why is this something that seems to have fallen under your bailiwick?
Yeah, it's here because our family needs it. It's here because I've heard from so many constituents who are in need of mental health services for their family members, in particular children. Oftentimes mental health services and counseling, that's needed for, a situational context that someone's going through, a transition or something of that nature. So it's very temporal. A good example is where, mom and dad are getting a divorce and, a child of 8, 9, 10 years of age is struggling through that divorce and they need some counseling. And so it's families who have come to me with those kind of stories that really led me to this. And, so I started the work, and once I got involved in it, about 3 years ago, I really have taken a deeper interest in trying to understand this and making sure that our families get the benefit of these services. And then, simultaneously, we had COVID. And, all of the, stress that we have seen our families in. So, I just think it's very important for us to have these services available for our families. And I want to do everything I possibly can to make that happen.
And finally, this seems to address the idea of expanded scope of practice, something that the legislature isn't always willing to touch. It's kind of this third rail. Do you think in the wake of this pandemic that New York and state regulators and lawmakers have a new perspective on scope of practice? Or should we think that not a ton has changed in this issue moving forward and this type of bill is going to be the exception as opposed to the norm?
I don't have a strong read on that, David. What I do know is that Chair Glick in the Assembly, who chairs the Higher Education Committee that oversees these licensure and scope of practice issues, was very, very, very helpful in helping me get this done. She and her staff, as well as central staff, were instrumental in drafting the legislation in a way that we could get it through the legislature while maintaining 100% the intent of the legislation, which is to get permanent licensure ability for these three professions to be able to diagnose and do assessment plans.
Well, we've been speaking with Assemblymember Harry Bronson. He is a Rochester area Democrat. Assemblymember, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, especially on this very important issue. I appreciate it.
And for more Capital Press Room content, visit our website, capitalpressroom.org, or check out wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Support for the Capital Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.
Join us again for Capital Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.